Hello. Get into that microphone. There you are.
This is my first time at one of these. I feel like I've always had this.
You are dodging the microphone. Maybe if we stand here, he will stand here. There. We'll stand right here. There.
Good. Thank you. Okay, I feel like I've always come from the heart. I've always had this optimism, and other people have described it sometimes as childish or youthful enthusiasm.
We agree with all of that. It is childish and youthful and enthusiasm and good and Pollyanna.
Not Pollyanna.
Pollyanna was really happy.
Pollyanna meaning?
Tuned in, tapped in, turned on.
But real.
Absolutely real.
Absolutely real, absolutely from the heart. And sometimes I've had a lot of self-doubt sometimes, or now I guess I would call it contrast, because I didn't know. At times, some of this stuff coming from others would make me start to doubt.
You see, what happens, what you're describing is, when you are happy because you are choosing thoughts that keep you in alignment with who you are, and therefore you're feeling so good, and someone who is not doing the same for themselves approaches you and criticizes you of you're feeling good when you have no real reason to feel good from their perspective. In other words, they think you should be as miserable as they are. And so then the reason that you feel bad is that in your attention to their criticism, you're not doing what you were doing for which they were criticizing you to begin with. The best way that we can describe it, and we really want to hear you, but we're going to give just a basis here, is that, so let's say there are two people, and this one wants one, and let's say they're co-creating in some way. And this one wants this, and this one wants that, and what they want are different. But this one is thinking about what she wants and only about what she wants, and is feeling good because she is thinking about what she wants. But the other, thinking about what they want, not thinking about what they want, but annoyed about what she is wanting. So this one is now not in vibrational alignment with themselves, but annoyed. And now this one who was thinking about what she wanted is now noticing that annoyance. And so now this one is not thinking about what she wants. And so now both are out of alignment and blaming each other. And so what it really comes down to is caring about how you feel more than caring about what someone else's response is to you.
Bingo. That's one of my things, though. I seem to always care about others more than myself.
But you see, that's a contradiction, that we don't disagree with you, but it is a contradiction to your earlier statement.
Right.
And
when I get thrown off track, that's what I find that I've done, is that I've left myself.
Well, most of you are trained to get thrown off track in this way. Someone meaningful to you, like a mother or a father or a teacher or someone you care about, holds you as their object of attention, and when you please them, they show signs of being pleased. And you like that because you're an uplifter. You want them to feel good. So when you associate someone feeling good with something that you've done, that feels very good to you. But then, if they are distracted and are not holding you as their object of attention, you may feel that you need to do something more to please them. Or if you should do something that doesn't please them, and then you feel the repercussions of not having pleased them, then you don't feel good because you've been sort of hanging your star, so to speak, upon them feeling good. And
right.
It's what we call well-meaning people training you away from your own guidance system by rewarding you with their appreciation, but then by punishing you with their not appreciation, by being put out with you or disappointed in you. And you have to reach the place where what everybody else thinks about you is really not any of your business. You have to really not give a rip what they think, or even better said, you must care more about how you feel than how they feel about something that you're doing. And it's, we know sometimes Esther will say, Abraham is like a small voice in the wilderness, because almost everybody is clamoring to please someone else. And that's why there are so many people then that have a hard time even hearing their own guidance. They're so used to listening to others. And then it reaches even greater proportion as people then are wanting to know what the polls say or what the voters are saying or what the majority of people. So people are then responding to the loudest outcry instead of to the truest vibration within them. And so more and more people get more and more out of kilter when they are not listening to how they feel. And then people say, even as they hear us, they worry. They say, Abraham, if everyone were as selfish as you are trying to get them to be, what would this world be like? And we say, it's the utopia our friend is reaching for. If you are selfish enough to really care about your alignment, and you are an example of that, and others become selfish enough to care about their alignment, and you have a world of people who are in alignment, now you have an incredibly cooperative world, because now you're letting people be. You're not trying to orchestrate their life experiences. You are allowing them. It's only when you understand that you get what you think about that you are then willing to allow others to think the thoughts and live the lives that they want to live. But when you believe erroneously, it is so incorrect. When you believe that what others do impact you, then you've got to control them, and you can't do that, and then you just go crazy. And the reason that people believe that others do impact them is because most people offer the majority of their vibration in response to what they are observing. You're sloppy in your thinking. You're observing things that you don't want to live, and by observing them, you're including them in your vibration. And by including them in your vibration, then you begin living them, and then you associate your living something you don't want with them doing something that you didn't want them to do. And so it's sort of a cycle that never works out for anyone.
Oh, I'm in a cycle that I'm trying to, you know, a personal cycle, not professional, but it seems like I do better professionally as far as getting what I want, and I focus on what's real.
Well, it is helpful when you say, I do really well in this area of my life because that will help you then extrapolate what you're doing and apply it to another area of your life. Mm-hmm. But when you say, I do good in this area, but I don't do good in that area, you sort of just hold yourself in that unchanging place.
Right.
Things can't change. If you hold that perspective, the indicators of that vibrational perspective have to keep being your indicators. We want to...
So I need a paradigm shift, in a sense. Like,
no, not a paradigm shift. You just need to lean a little bit downstream.
Okay.
Just lean a little bit. Just be aware that... Just be more aware of the way you feel. Paradigm shifts are so dramatic. Where just leaning in the direction of something that feels better is something so easily achievable.
Okay.
In other words, what you're looking for is a feeling of relief. Do you want to talk about the details of it?
Sure. Like I said, I've been successful in going from almost nothing to getting everything that I've ever wanted in lots of ways. One example is I practically willed myself with my fierce optimism and knowing that I would have a child at 44, even though the odds were really against it. And I had tried and tried. I still never gave up. So... But then I ended up somehow in this place that's very lonely.
So
it's by feeling all these feelings, like as I can't explain it.
You know, let's talk
like
about
leaving so many who don't think the
there,
same.
There, that's it. So let's talk about what loneliness is. And so now this speaks to what we were
not lonely. Like I'm happy myself, but I want more people who understand. I guess I can't.
Well, we're going to begin by saying something that we think is extremely clever. You may not like it at all, but it's so clever we must say it, and then we'll show you what to do about it.
Okay.
And so we want to say you're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Exactly.
and then we want to say to you that it speaks to what we were talking about just a little bit ago, where most of you are trained to be aware of the response that you're getting from others. And so you have this sort of duality going on where you innately know that it is your work to come into alignment with who you are, and you've been working to do that and been seeing the success of that alignment on so many occasions that now you really know it, you've got mm-hmm. it, yeah, and you can never step back from that understanding. But then you find yourself feeling lonely because the majority of people don't get what you get, don't know what you know, can't relate to you. It's sort of what we were talking about here in this place of freedom and love and appreciation. Most of the population is not steadily there. And that's why so often when it's interesting, when people see someone living something that they want to live, it sort of aggravates their awareness that they're mm-hmm. not there. And then they almost get on the attack. They don't mean to. They really are more well-meaning than it seems, but they are sort of striving for a sort of empathy. They want you to come over there so that you can have a conversation with them. And part of you, the physical part of you, would sort of like to go over there too. So then we say reassuring things to you, such as you cannot uplift from your place of not being uplifted. In other words, we like to tell the story that if you were walking around along a mountain ledge with two friends, and one of them was very clumsy and the other one was very sure-footed, and you had twisted your foot or fallen over the edge and you were hanging by a flimsy vine, which of those two people would you be glad is there? And so your greatest value to everyone that you know, and you are a teacher to the very core of your being, your greatest value to everyone that you know and those that you are coming to know is in your alignment. So then you say, but people so often say it's lonely at the top, and we say it's lonely at the higher vibrations if you are looking for numbers. But if you are understanding that the feeling of loneliness, just like every other negative emotion, is not about the absence of something that is physical or someone that is physical rendezvousing with you, that feeling of loneliness is about you thinking a thought that holds you in a vibrational frequency that's different from the thought that your inner being thinks. So let's talk about moments when you feel that strong feeling of loneliness coming on. Let's say that you're watching someone who is not joyful, someone that you care about, who you want to be joyful. And as our psychotherapist friend that we talked to earlier, you're unwilling really to walk over there all the way and teach them what you know, because you understand that on vibrational basis, they're not going to hear you anyway. You've tried that. You've tried to explain. They're sort of rooted in their beliefs, and mm-hmm. they're not coming to where you're right. coming. And so
I have to go.
So you... And your going over there isn't going to help them anyway. But in this process of this, in this process of seeing this person not feeling good, you have put the new and improved version of them, which means the better feeling version of them, you have put the better feeling version of them in your vibrational escrow. And so there they are, and the broader part of you has focused upon the better feeling version of them. But you, in your human form, are not focused upon the better feeling version of them. You're looking at them where they are, and in doing so, you've separated yourself from who you are, and you're blaming them, or at least giving them right. the credit for that. And so, and then you come to the conclusion that this is a feeling of loneliness that I'm having because they don't get me. Mm-hmm. Or because they don't get what they need to get in order to feel better. And we say, it's a feeling of loneliness that is a feeling of negative emotion that is present because you're looking at them in a way that the broader part of you is not now looking at them. The broader part of you, your exposure to them caused you to expand your version of them. Mm-hmm. They, in what you observed them lived, caused you to give birth to an expanded version of them that you're not living up to. Mm-hmm. True upliftment is living up to the expanded version of people that you have seen, you see. And they're not going to help you because they're not in the expanded version of them. So they're over there living life the way they've been living, complaining about the things that they've been complaining about. They're not helping you out at all. And we can see how it would feel uncomfortable, that you might even feel resentment or anger or loneliness about not being able to just grab them and drag them over
right.
there where they belong.
That's what I'm trying to do.
But we want you to understand, as you let go of that need to control what's going on with them, and as you say things to yourself such as, it's temporary, and that part of them is really none of my business. This part of them is what I want to give my undivided attention to. Before you know it, you will discover that as you come into alignment with your expanded, better feeling version of them, and you maintain it consistently, you maintain that positive, optimistic, because mm-hmm. you practice it when you're not with them, as this version of them becomes even only slightly, not a paradigm shift, mm-hmm. just even slightly more dominant in your vibrational encounter, in your vibrational beingness than where they are, what will happen is law of attraction will start lining you up with this version of them rather than this version of them. You'll be zigging and zagging and missing that version of them, and you'll be hooking up with this version of them. You know how so many people are manic depressive. They feel good one day or 1 minute and not good the next, and there are some subjects they feel good about and some subjects that they feel bad about. In other words, mm-hmm. they're up and down and all over the place. Well, law of attraction knows where they are and when they are there. And mm-hmm. law of attraction, and if you're maintaining your vibrational alignment with the new and improved version of them, law of attraction is going to give you the impulse to call them when they're there with you, going to cause you to meet them in the grocery store when they're there with you. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. People can walk down the same street in the same city with different vibrations going on within them and have two entirely different experiences walking down the street, rendezvousing with different people. Some people will be invisible to one and other people will be invisible to another. Law of attraction says that your world is as unique as your vibrational perspective in any moment in time. Mm-hmm. So as you clean up your vibration, your world begins to reflect how you're feeling. So when you say, they make me feel lonely, we say they're just a reflection of your discordant vibration with who you really are. And as you understand that and start working to bring yourself into alignment, then no one ever makes you feel bad. Your feelings become unhurtable. And it's not lonely. There is no inkling of loneliness in steady alignment. You just get feeling so good. You just get feeling so good. And then the positive part of people begin flocking to you. If you've got the negative part of people flocking around you,
I think that's what I've done.
You've been empathizing with them.
Right.
And so many of you here in this room do this because you are born uplifters, and it feels to you like you need to go over there where they are and drag them into the light. And we've never seen one person ever drag anyone else to the light, because when you get over there in the shadows, your light goes out. You don't know which way
that's
the light is.
That's how I feel, depleted.
Yes.
I feel that I get depleted.
Yes. Yes.
Of my
so
energy.
Here are some things that you can say that will soothe you. You're all right where you are, you could think to yourself about one. And where you are is temporary. And where you are is the catalyst that helps you and me to define where you really want to go. And I think I have a pretty clear picture of who you really are and where you want to go. And I'm going to start practicing that picture more. And I'm enjoying this interaction, and the contrast of your life is meaningful to me because it gives me something to focus upon, and I can feel that I am expanding because of my interaction with you. And I would never want to just put you off in a corner out of my life. I don't want to abandon you. I want to benefit by my relationship with you, and you're helping me to tune up my vibration and come into vibrational alignment with who I am. And I can feel that true mastery of oneself is tuning into the vibration of one's core regardless of what's going on around. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that the loneliest thing in the whole world, you can say to yourself or even to another, I think that the loneliest thing in the whole world would be to believe that I have to fix all of those things before I can feel good, because I know that that is impossible and that is deep despair, mm-hmm. not just loneliness.
Right.
But when I understand that I don't have to fix mm-hmm. anything, I just have to tune myself into vibrational alignment with who I am, now I've got it. In other words, can you feel the power and the freedom of recognizing that it's just your vibration that you've got to be in charge of, and that
right.
and that you can be in charge of that pretty easily?
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Second row, yes?